for going to church, you see. But I went that night somehow, in spite of that. And they ushered me in with a warm and friendly smile. And five rows back, I sat. Five rows back, I remember it well. The story of Jesus, I heard him tell. He told about heaven, and he warned of hell. I listened from five rows back. The words of that preacher were like arrows of burning truth, and they reached my heart as he spoke so earnestly. He told how Jesus suffered, how he bled and he died, and he did it just for sinners like me. Oh, the choir started singing just as I am, and I knew that I was lost. My life was a sham, but I came and I was washed in the blood of the Lamb. Five rows back I sat. What a change, things are different now. Peace and happiness fill my heart. Jesus walks and he talks with me each passing day. And I know that through the years of time and through all eternity, I'll not forget the night that my sins were washed away. When the choir was singing, just as I am, oh, I knew that I was lost, that my life was a sham. But I came and I was washed in the blood of the Lamb. From five rows I came, from five rows back, I came.
All right. Well, glory to God. Well, I'm telling you, there's so many good things when you come to church that can happen. I get to hear good singing. And appreciate that, Brother Ingram. And you know what? I think all of us, if you were saved, now some of us were saved and weren't saved actually in the church house, and but some of us were. And I can associate with that. Now, I wasn't five rows back. I was 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, about 10 rows back. All right? But that's all right. The message made it back that far. And I remember the preacher preaching. I remember the invitation given. I remember the Holy Spirit said, "This is it, son. Last verse for you." And boy, listen, he might as well have just written it right there on the screen. And because I came down, got gloriously born again. And life has never been the same since. And I appreciate the song. I appreciate the message there. And every child of God, listen, if you lose the joy of your salvation, you have lost one of the most important things, ingredients to your Christian life. Don't ever lose the joy of being saved. But you know, there are some that know not Christ. Did you listen to the song? He said, there's some here today that claim to be a Christian, but your life's a sham. You hear me? I'll just amen right there. Amen, preacher. You see, not everybody that comes to church that claims to be a Christian is. You say, well, I am. Well, you may be according to your doctrine. But are you according to the Word of God? Because if you die without Jesus, it's forever and an eternity in hell. And that's what I want to speak on today. Take your Bible, Luke 16, if you would, please. Luke chapter number 16. You know, sometimes in churches today, you don't hear much preaching about hell anymore. It's kind of a subject matter that doesn't seem to be a conversational piece anymore. And a lot of times, I think sometimes it's not spoken about or preached about because we're afraid we're going to offend somebody. But folks, if you're lost today and without Jesus Christ, I'm not trying to offend you. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to get Jesus into your life and try to help you get your life transformed for the glory of God. And if you're sitting here under the sound of my voice and you've been dealing with that issue in your life about not being saved, or you've got some doubts or questions, listen to me. If you die without Christ, it's forever without God. No hope. No chance of heaven. I want to point your attention, if I could, this morning to Luke chapter 16. Would you stand with me? Verse number 19. Jesus, speaking here, said there was a certain rich man that was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover the dogs came and licked his, that's Lazarus' sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which should pass from hence to you cannot, and neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him, that's Lazarus, to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he, Abraham, said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Now I want to speak to you this morning from this passage of Scripture. Because here's what I want you to notice about the passage of Scripture. Did you understand here that now the rich man had died? He was in hell. And Lazarus had gone to Abraham's bosom. And in paradise they could see one another, but there was a great gulf fixed. And there was a conversation that went on between that rich man and Abraham. And did you notice that the rich man immediately engaged in a debate? Did you notice that? Immediately he engaged in a debate with Abraham. And I want to speak to you this morning. The problem with this rich man, it was too late to debate. It was too late to debate. And I want you to mull that in your mind this morning, because I fear, listen to me, I fear that we've got too many people whose lives are a sham, who claim Christ but show no fruits whatsoever. You say, Jesus said, by their fruits you shall know them. You see, there are people that attend churches all over America that do nothing for their church, give nothing to their church, support nothing in their church, and sometimes don't even attend their church. Now folks, listen to me, something's wrong. Something's wrong right there. But don't die without Christ, because then it's too late to debate. Father, would you bless us now? Thank you for the privilege that we have to serve a living God. And Father, this subject, many times it pierces down into my soul and spirit. It pierces my heart this morning, because Lord, Hell is a real place. People are dying and going there. And I pray, Lord God, please, if there's anyone under the sound of my voice that knows not Christ this morning, Spirit of God, would you convict? If there are people, I don't care if their name is on this church roll, if they know not Christ, they will die and split hell wide open just like anybody else. Please, Lord God, let there not one person leave today without knowing Jesus as Savior. We'll give all the glory and praise to you for the results now of our time together in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. You know, here we are in 2012. We're in a presidential election year. Many of you have seen the various debates that have been going on. And of course, as we narrow this thing down to two candidates, there will be more debates. Well, the reason they have a debate is over issues. They have a particular subject issue, and then one and the other tries to establish their position of why they believe such and such thing in that debate. And so we'll see that more and more as we go along in this presidential election year. I remember in high school, we had a debate team. Was anybody here on a debate team? You're on a debate? Yeah, we had a couple of people on a debate team. Did y'all like that? Did y'all like debating? Yeah, Brother Brank, I know you love debating. But you know, the thing about it is, on those debate teams, I was never a part of one, but I had attended one of our debate teams, and one of the meets, I guess they called it, and they would have different subjects, and they would have one debate team to prove one area, and then they have the other one to prove why this is not. And so they would grade them and all that kind of stuff. I'm not sure what the grading system was. But what I'm saying, it was interesting to hear what each side had to say about the issue. Now listen very carefully. The issue at hand that we have this morning is the issue of hell. And here we have a rich man who died and went there. And immediately when he got there and he looked across and he saw Lazarus, the man that used to sit at his gate in Abraham's bosom, immediately he engaged him in a debate. Immediately he began to bring up certain issues. Well, before I get there and speak about those issues, I want to say this to you this morning. Even within the doors of the local church today, hell seems to be a mute subject. It seems to be a subject that has become now offensive if you say anything about it. Because here's what we've done. We've bought into the idea that everybody's going to heaven. Listen to me, that's contrary to God's Word. That's contrary to Jesus' ministry. Everybody's not going to heaven. Get that out of your mind. Just like when I go out to my car, I open the hood up. You know, I don't have two positive terminals on my battery. There's a positive and a negative. There's an up and a down. There's a good and a bad. And yet when it comes to spiritual things, we think that everything and everything ought to match up to what our philosophy. Oh, well, God wouldn't send anybody to hell, preacher. And you're right on that. God's never sent one person to hell. They go there because of their lack of faith and trust in Christ. God's never sent anybody there. They went there by their own choice. You say, they didn't choose to go there. Yo, they chose that. They chose hell by not choosing Jesus. Let me say something about hell. First of all, hell's a real place, and it's confirmed by the words of Jesus. You hear me? It's a real place. And it was confirmed by the words of Jesus in our text today. Even the Lord, this is the Lord speaking here. And He said in verse 23, and in hell. The Lord confirmed there's a real place called hell. He mentioned it with His own words. Can I say also that hell is not just a real place and Jesus confirmed it, but hell is a real place where real people go who have not accepted Jesus Christ. Now listen to me. By grace through faith. You see, there's all kinds of people that have ideas of how to get born again. There's all kinds of people that have ideas. Okay, well, this is salvation, and this is salvation, and this is salvation. Can I ask you to do something? How about just put all that nonsense aside and find out what Jesus said salvation was? Hey, salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, plus nothing, minus nothing. Listen, if salvation was by works, you and I couldn't keep it if our life depended on it. That's the reason the Lord came into this world, is seeking to save that which was lost. He told Nicodemus, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." He didn't say, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, if you'll just stay right where you are in your religious condition and keep going to church, you're going to be all right, boy." Didn't tell him that at all. He said, no, he looked right in his religious eyes. Listen now, he was probably a better church member than most of us. And he looked right at him and says, "You must be born again. You must be born again." He said, "Nicodemus, your religion is a fraud. Your life is a sham." And let me tell you something, the Word of God went out and convicted that old boy, and he got saved. He got born into the family of God by grace, through faith, plus nothing, minus nothing. Let me say this, hell is a real place where there is no hope of escape. It's a real place where there is no hope of escape. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation in your life where you felt that all hope was lost. I've been there one time in my life, and I don't want to ever return to that place again. When you feel that, you know what, this is it, I'm going, I'm fixing to check out. I've been there, and some of you have been there. I don't like that. I don't want to feel that way. Listen to me, folks. When a person dies without Christ and they go to hell, there is no hope. There's no escape. There's no way out. It's forever and ever and ever. I want to say hell is a real place consisting of fire and torment and brimstone and darkness. Listen, and the wicked of all ages. The wicked of all ages. Now listen, most of you in here tonight, or this morning, you feel uncomfortable about being in the presence of certain people, don't you? You just feel uncomfortable about when you go to certain places and there are certain people there living a certain lifestyle that you feel uncomfortable about being there. Listen to me, if you're here without Christ and you die and go to hell, you're going to be with the wicked of all ages. People that, listen, that the monsters of our society will be there. You'll spend eternity with them. Now here's some things that we need to think about this morning. First of all, hell is not the grave. You hear me? Hell is not the grave. You say, yeah, it is. It says right there. Well, listen, if hell's the grave, this man's grave was on fire, brother. And he said, "I'm tormented in these flames." I don't know who did. Somebody set his grave on fire. You see, hell is not the grave. Death is not the end. You see, it's appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. We're going to face our God one day. And what I'm saying to you this morning, hell is not the grave. Next, hell is not a state of mental torment. Now, this is starting to get prevalent today. That hell is only a state of mental torment. Now, was this rich man mentally tormented? Yes. But you know what else he was? He was bodily tormented. He was bodily tormented. Because he cried out and he was being tormented in these flames. He was feeling every ounce of it. Hell's not the grave. Hell's not a state of mental torment. And can I say, hell is not just separation from God. Was this rich man separated from God? Yes, he was. But you know what? He was feeling every aspect of where he had decided by his rejection of Christ. He had decided that this would be his eternal destination. You see, we can attempt to rationalize. We can attempt to spiritualize. We can attempt to do anything we want to do. But the fact remains that when a person dies and goes to hell, listen to me, it's too late to debate anything. It's too late. Too late. You see, the story that Jesus tells about Lazarus and the rich man is a real story. Now, there would be some people that would try to tell you that this is a parable. The problem is, every time Jesus introduced a parable, he always introduced it as a parable. He did not introduce this as a parable. He told a real story about two real people and a real place. You see, this is not a parable. We're not trying to spiritualize things here. This is a real story, and it really happened. These are real people with real names. Did you notice? He actually called one of them Lazarus. A real person with a real name. And may I say to you this morning, listen, you're a real person with a real name as well. God knows you. He knows your spiritual condition this morning. He knows who you are and what's going on in your life. He knows right now whether your life is a fraud or a sham. You see, this particular place in Scripture, that we have. It's the most descriptive, it's the most informative scripture that we have recorded about this place called hell. And it teaches so many things about life now and after death. It teaches us about life now and after death. Let me give you a couple of things that it teaches us. First of all, I want to say some simple facts about our story is this. Not just rich people go to hell. You hear me? Not just rich people go to hell. Listen, we think a person is a billionaire and he doesn't go to church and he doesn't give any money to the church and he doesn't support reaching souls and because he doesn't do that, well, he's going to go to hell. Hey, listen, just because he's a billionaire don't make him go into hell. It's not just rich people that go to hell. Hey, it's not our social or economic status that determines whether we go to heaven or hell. But can I say not just rich people go to hell? I want to say not just poor people go to heaven. You hear me? And yet you got people in their mind and they've already separated everybody economically. Rich go to hell, poor go to heaven. That's not true at all. Not at all. And yet the plain aspect of this to prove the point is, listen, when the rich man got to hell, he looked across there, and you know who he saw? He saw Abraham. Help me out. Was Abraham pretty rich? Hey, Abraham had a few bucks in his pocket, didn't he? He's a rich man. He's a wealthy man. You know where he ended up? He ended up in heaven for one reason and one reason only, because he put his faith and trust in God. That's why. That's how he ended up there. Not just rich people go to hell. Not just poor people go to heaven. Can I say this? Both men had equal opportunity to decide their eternity. They both had equal opportunity. They both had equal time. They both were, listen, both of them had access to the same truth, and yet one chose heaven and the other not. Both men had equal opportunity to decide their eternity. You know, people say, well, preacher, why do we always seem to come up with these hypothetical situations? You ever notice people come up with hypothetical situations? Well, what if, hey, listen, I'm not talking about what if, I'm talking about your soul. You see, you what if all you want, but that what if in you, that's you, my brother. That's you as an individual. We're talking about your eternal destiny here. Don't come to me with what ifs. We're talking about you. Can I say we're talking about your soul this morning? We're not talking about what ifs over in another country. We're not talking about what ifs in another somewhere on the other side. We're talking about your soul today. We're talking about you as an individual. You see, I'm saying to you that, listen, both men had the opportunity to decide about their eternity. And can I say this morning, you're going to have an opportunity to decide about your eternity. You're going to have the opportunity. I noticed something else about this. I noticed that if the Lord tarries His return, we will die. Folks, listen, you are not the exception to the rule. You're not. I heard him say on the radio the other day, they were interviewing a guy that was 108 years old, lives over here in Dallas, I think. 108 years old. You know what they said? Well, see, I always like these reporters. Now, can you explain to us how you reached 108 years old? How's he going to explain that? Can you explain to us what you did to reach 108 years of age? He's like, I don't know. I just live right. He didn't know. How do you answer a question like that? Listen, you only get 108 years by the grace of God. That's all you get, 108 years. Listen, they ask him, well, you know what? Everybody wants some kind of secret, don't they? What's the secret? Because I want to live to 108. So what's your secret so I can live to 108? He's just like, I don't know. Okay, they move on to the next question. Hey, what I'm saying is, by the way, my mind is already dug. Can you imagine what's going to be at 108 if I live that long? You're trying to ask a guy 108 years old questions? You see, what I'm saying is, if the Lord tarries His return, we will die. And then, here's the next thing I noticed about our story. After death, we will be conscious of where we are. We will be conscious of where we are. Just like Abraham was conscious of where he was, Lazarus was conscious of where he was. Listen to me. The rich man was also conscious of where he was. He knew where he was. You see, notice that it is only after death that the rich man realizes the fate of his soul. Because while he's alive, he didn't realize what the fate of it was. He only realized it after he died. And that the rich man speaks out, but when he speaks with the spirit of debate. Immediately, he engages in a debate. Now, look at the scriptures. Let's look at some things to think about here for the next minute or two, okay? Did you notice the first point of debate was in verse 24? And he, that's the rich man, cried and said, Father Abraham, here's debate point number one, have mercy. He was going to debate Abraham over the issue of mercy. Listen, folks, I don't know how old this rich man was, but I'm telling you this, he had plenty of time to be saved. He's an adult, he had plenty of opportunity, he had plenty of time. Oh, by the way, just like you and I have plenty of time. Just like you and I have had plenty of opportunities. And some are going to walk out of this church service this morning, right out that back door, as lost as they were when they came in. You know why? Because they think, hey, I'm a pretty good person. Well, you know what? This rich man, I don't know what he did for a living, but I tell you what, most of the people in town probably thought he's a pretty good person too, didn't he? You see, what I'm saying is, the rich man's debate, point number one, over his debate was that of mercy. He says, listen, have compassion. Come on, man, show me some compassion. Show me some tender love. Show me some favor. You see, the rich man chose the subject of mercy for his debate. Listen to me, too late. Why didn't he start talking about mercy when he was alive? Why didn't he start looking for the mercy of God when he was alive? He waited till it was too late to debate it. Didn't even address it while he was alive, as far as we can tell. You see, he waited until after death to address the matter, but it was too late. Did you notice? Look at verse 24. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Now listen, Brother Branca, his points of his debate, this isn't going to hold water. Okay? You've been on a debate team. You realize, oh boy, you know what? I don't think our defense is going to hold water. You didn't feel good about it when you didn't have the information or communicate, did you? You didn't feel good about your position, did you? You see, listen to me. This rich man had holes all in his points, all in his in the information that he was given. Did you notice the first thing he said? He cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Wait a minute. You're in hell because Jesus didn't. You didn't receive the mercy of Jesus. Now you know what you're doing? You're doing the same thing while you're dead as you did alive. You're depending on men. Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Why didn't he cry out to Jesus? Why didn't he cry out to God? No, you know what? He's doing the same thing that too many do today. They're looking for men for answers. They're looking at men for answers to their soul. Listen to me. The only answer for your soul is the shed blood of Christ. That's the only answer. But wait a minute. He didn't stop there. He cried out, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus. Man, he did it twice. Twice in this passage. You know what he's looking for help from? Men. He's looking for help from people. Now folks, listen to me. I think there are good people. I think there are good Christian people that can help you and direct you to Jesus. But that person themselves cannot save your soul. I don't care how religious they are. I don't care how up on the religious chain you think they are or how close to God you think they are. You listen to me. That person is just as much flesh and blood as you are. And yet here's his problem. His problem is, Abraham, have mercy. Lazarus, go get some water and touch the tip of my tongue. He was already starting off wrong. And he probably did the same thing when he was alive too. His doctrine was messed up. His doctrine was so messed up that he thought that salvation had something to do with either him or somebody else. And so here he is debating the area of mercy. And so far, he said, Abraham, have mercy. Lazarus, go get some water. Listen, folks, he's already got two holes in his argument. Two. Now, I want you to notice what else he did. The rich man, if you'll notice, Abraham said in verse 25, oh, by the way, Abraham couldn't have helped him if he'd have wanted to. Lazarus could not have helped him if he'd have wanted to. And I'm sure that Abraham and Lazarus looked across there and saw that rich man and probably had some compassion on him, but they couldn't do anything about it. They couldn't do anything about it. And folks, let me say something to you. What are you going to do about somebody who rejects Christ and rejects Christ and rejects Christ? You can pray for them, but listen to me. You can't save their soul. They can't be saved vicariously through you. They're going to have to come to the saving knowledge of Christ. Look at verse 25. I want you to notice here. Here's the response to the rich man's debate. Okay, he made his points. Abraham, have mercy. Lazarus, go get some water to touch the tip of my tongue. That was basically his points of mercy and part of his debate. Listen how Abraham answered it and defeated him with one word. He said, and Abraham said, son, what's the next word? Remember. Listen to me. Debate over. It's over. He said, hey, go back and remember all the opportunities that you had to be saved. Listen, go back and remember all the opportunities that you missed to accept the mercy of God. Remember how you chose a lucrative lifestyle over the mercy of God? He said, remember how you thought that Lazarus was a nobody because he was a beggar? Let me tell you something. He might have been a nobody in that world, but he became a somebody when he got into the family of God. You see, Lazarus didn't obtain God's mercy upon his soul just because he was a beggar. And God felt sorry for him. Hey, listen, God don't save people because he feels sorry for them. He saves people because he loves them. And he's provided a way of salvation for them. You see, the rich man waited too late to debate the mercy of God. And he lost the mercy debate with one word. And Abraham said, remember. You know what? Debate on that point, over. Brother Banker, when you was on the debate team, did you realize we lost this one? I can already tell. Let me go over here. Who else was on a debate team that actually... Now what I'm saying to you, listen, that rich man knew with that one word, that particular point was mute. He lost that point. Because Abraham, all he said was, remember, remember, remember. Listen to me. Those here today without Christ, likewise, you're going to lose your debate over the mercy of God by being confronted by the same word, remember. Remember that church service you were in on March the 4th, 2012? Remember when that preacher stood up and he was talking about hell and you knew your life was a sham? You knew your salvation was a fraud and you had no more put your faith and trust in Christ? But boy, you went to church and you acted the part, you looked the part, you spoke the part, but you were lost. And you're going to say, but Lord, I was sincere. I was sincere. But folks, sincerity is only applicable to your soul when you actually mean it, put your faith in Christ. You see, his first point of debate was mercy. Now, he only had two points of debate. The first one was on mercy. Look at the next one, if you would. Look down at verse 27. Once he realized that his debate and his points on mercy had been shot down by one word, remember, then the rich man begins to debate, listen now, over souls. Look at verse 27. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him, Lazarus, to my father's house, for I have five brethren that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Now listen, he lost the debate on mercy. So you know what he does? He changes gears. And so now he changes his debate now toward souls. And that debate now is over five brothers that he had. Now listen, he knew his five brothers were lost. Did you notice that? He knew they were lost. Why? Because they were just like he was. They were just like he was. And listen to me, this is important. They were raised just like he was. They were living just like he was. They were without Christ just like he was. So he knew they were lost. So he realized his brothers were lost. Listen, this rich man had no concern for his own soul, nor those of his brothers, until it was too late. What is he going to do to reach his five brothers? He's in hell. He can do nothing to reach them. Listen, folks, why wait till you die to try to get concerned about your family? Why wait till you die to try to do something? Do it now. Do it now. Remember all the opportunities that God has given you to reach your family and friends for Christ. He knew his five brothers were lost. Hey, did you also notice he knew where to find his five brothers? He knew they were lost. Where did he tell Abraham to send Lazarus? To my father's house. He knew exactly where to find them. You know what? It ain't hard to find sinners. You know why? Because most of us know where they are. We know where to find them. You say, where? Where are they, preacher? Walk outside that door right there. They're everywhere. They're everywhere. There are people lost without God everywhere. This rich man knew exactly where to find his brothers. You know what? If Lazarus would have got there, here's what he would have found. He would have found them at home doing what they've always done. He would have got there, found them doing what they... Oh, listen, I promise you, they would not have been in the door and said, oh my goodness, my brother died and went to hell. I hope somebody will come by and tell us about Christ. I doubt very seriously they were standing at the front door. I doubt very seriously they would have been standing out on the porch looking for the preacher. Now he said, they're at my father's house. They're doing the same thing that they've always done. And listen to me. There are people here this morning under the sound of my voice. You're lost without Christ. And you know what? You're doing the same thing you've always done. You're going through the same motions you've always gone through. But let me tell you something, my friend. When you die without Christ, it's too late to debate. At home, his brothers were probably doing the same thing that they'd always done. Hey, listen, they were at home oblivious to the mercy of God as they always were. They were probably at home and unconcerned about their own soul just like the rich man was. Just like he was. Hey, he was right about the miraculous part of it. About Lazarus being raised from the dead and going to tell us. He was right about that part. The problem is he was just wrong in his approach. You see, he was right. You know what? There needs to be a miracle. Yeah. But Lazarus wasn't the miracle. Lazarus wasn't the miracle. You see, the miracle was Jesus. You see, he wanted man to change them when it was the job of Jesus to save them. You ever bring people to church? Here's what we do. We bring people to church. And people have issues in life, I understand that. But we bring people to church, we think one message is going to change their life. You hear me? We think one message is going to change their life. And you know what? They're going to be transformed. And pretty soon, they're going to come down. And man, one message, never have to come back. One message is going to do the whole trick. Not going to happen that way. You know what the rich man wanted? He wanted one instance to change everything. But it's too late. It's too late. You see, he thought that a dead man raised from the dead would be enough to shake his brothers up so they'd repent. He thought that a man raised from the dead would be enough and more impactful than the living word of Almighty God. He thought a dead man raised could do a better job of convincing them to be saved because of what he had experienced. You see, his whole confidence was not in Jesus. And listen, he's in hell now and he's still got the same philosophy. That it was dependent upon men. That it had something to do with works. That if they had something to do with this or that. And listen, did you notice that the rich man never mentioned Christ one time? You know why? Because he missed him when he's alive and he missed him when he's dead. And yet he's trying to debate Abraham about souls over his five brothers. He knew they were lost. He knew where to find them. Now listen, let me finish this and say this. The rich man also lost this debate over souls. When Abraham pointed out this fact, they have Moses and the prophets. They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. You know what he's saying? He said, they got the word of God. If they don't come, if they don't get convicted by the word of God, there's not a man going to convict them. He said, they have the word. If they're going to get saved, if conviction's going to come, it's going to come through the word of God. You see, it's the word of God that changes. It's the word of God that consecrates. It's the word of God that convicts. You see, this rich man waited too late to debate God's mercy, and he waited too late to debate over the souls of his brothers. My question to you is this. Will you wait too late? Will you be like this rich man and say, listen, Lord, please have mercy on me? If you're in hell, it's too late. Too late. You see, after death, it's too late to debate. And you will not win your argument, regardless of the facts or the opinions that you present. You know that man, that rich man right here that we have recorded in Luke 16? If this story that Jesus told was a current story, or even if it was a story of the past, you realize this man has been in hell now 2,000 years plus? But we're talking about eternity, folks. This isn't a prison sentence. This is forever. This is forever. He'll never get out. It's the Word of God that changes lives. Remember when Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ? For it is the power of God unto salvation. Listen now. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. You know who salvation is for? Anyone. You say, oh, I'm just going to bide my time and wait. Well, let me say this to you. If you die, you're going to join that rich man in hell. And you're going to try to debate your point before God. You're going to try to scream out before God and say, Lord, mercy, mercy. And God's going to say, no mercy. You had opportunity. Okay, then, Lord, please go back. Do something. Send somebody to save my brothers. And you're going to hear the same thing that the rich man heard. They have church. They have preaching. They have the Word of God. They have more today than most had in their day. He said, if they're going to be saved, let them hear them. All I'm saying to you today, dear folks, is I'm afraid there's some here under the sound of my voice that may have your name on a church roll. You may come, you may look the part, talk the part, act the part, but you know where you are in your heart. Let me tell you something. I decided a long time ago I ain't going to hell for nobody. I'm not going to hell for anybody. You say, but I'm embarrassed. Let me tell you something. Would you rather come today and squirm through a little embarrassment, or would you rather spend eternity in hell? That's your choice. Maybe you're here today and this is the first clear-cut understanding of hell and salvation that you've ever heard. Listen to me. You can be saved. You can avoid this place. But if you wait, it's going to be too late to debate. Would you bow your heads for a moment? Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one's looking around. I'm going to do our invitation a little bit different this morning. I'm not going to have you raise your hands. Because you know what? I'm not trying to convict you. If the Spirit of God can't convict you about your soul, then what I do and say is in vain. But I wonder if there might be some people here that would be honest with your own soul, would be honest with yourself and say, preacher, I cannot honestly say that I've had a born-again experience with Jesus Christ. And you'd be honest. Listen to me. I said be honest this morning. You say, preacher, that's me. I cannot say honestly that I'm saved. I've battled with it. I've struggled with it. You say, preacher, that's me. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. But what I am going to do, in just a moment, we're going to stand. I am going to ask you that if you mean business, if you're concerned about your soul, I'm going to ask you to come this morning and let somebody take you aside and show you how to be born again. Maybe you're here this morning and you have loved ones that you know. You're a Christian this morning. You have loved ones you know that are lost without God. Can I ask you, what are you doing about trying to reach them for Jesus Christ? What are you trying to do about reaching them with the glorious gospel, the power of God? What are you doing? Don't wait till it's too late. Don't wait till your power of influence after your death ceases. Do something about it. Hell's a real place. People are really going there. And it's forever and ever and ever. I want you to think about that for just a moment. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I just want you to meditate on that. Be honest with your soul. Be honest with yourself today. Now, Father, I pray for this congregation of people today. I pray that you would move in this congregation, Spirit of God. I'm not going to try to pressure anybody. I'm not going to, listen, Lord, they know the condition of their heart. They know the condition of their soul. And Father, if they die without Jesus, if they die without having the shed blood of Christ applied to the doorpost of their soul, they'll be separated from God forever in a place called hell. And then it will be too late to ever debate their case again. It'll be forever. Oh, Father, please, show your might today. Show your mercy today. Please. Thank you, Lord God, for your word. Thank you for Spirit of God convicting our hearts. And then there are some today that have lost loved ones, lost friends, next door neighbors. I wonder if we're doing all that we can to try to see them come to Christ. Lord, we're failing in so many different areas. Would you help us to do better? To have your way in this invitation. Convict, save souls, I pray. And we'll give all the glory and praise to you in Jesus' name. Now with the heads bowed and eyes closed, let's stand to our feet. I'm going to ask the instruments to begin to play. I'm going to ask Brother Shaddix to begin to say, hey, listen, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. You're going to have to make this decision. I'm not going to pressure you into doing anything. The Holy Spirit of God is who's going to have to speak to you. If you're here this morning and you know not Christ, and your life's a fraud, and your life's a sham, why would you stay in your pew this morning? Would you come? Would you come? Don't waste any time. You come. You come. Hey, I'm afraid there's some Trinity Baptist Church members here today that are lost without God. You're lost. Would you admit it? Would you admit it? Hey, don't waste any time. This could be your last opportunity. This could be it. You may have to face God with your decision. We're going to sing it through again. This is your opportunity. This is it. This is it.
Take one step toward the Savior.